Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Amazing Grace School of Ministry. This is our second class, our Christian Empowerment course, which is on personality traits, personality disorders, and defense mechanisms. This is the end of class on personality traits, and certainly I want to say good evening to each and everyone that is on the line on this evening. You should have received the email with the following information on November the 5th. You should have received a revised syllabus that gives you the dates and the times and the telephone number for Blog Talk Radio. The syllabus also gives updated dates and tests and when those tests will be mailed out to you and the turnaround dates when they should be returned back to me. Either you can put them in the mail or you can email them to me, and certainly I put that on the syllabus as well. I also sent out class notes, and I didn't say my name, and this is Dr. Maria Carey for those of you that are on the line. But, of course, you all are returning students, so you should know me by now. But if you don't, this is Dr. Carey, your humble and faithful teacher. Secondly, class notes. I email class notes on the topics that we're discussing. And certainly you will get class notes before the end of the second topic. So this course is 6 weeks, and we will be discussing the topics personality trait, and this is the end of personality traits. And next week we will go into personality disorders. And of course, you will receive the Monday before the second class notes so that you can start working on the tests and get those tests back to me on the assigned dates. So again, you should have received class notes with the topic of discussion, personality traits, which included Christian empowerment, counseling, class notes, and understanding personalities. And also, you should have received the personality trait test. There is also another assignment that I was not able to email, but it's something simple, and it's not going to be due until the Friday after Thanksgiving. And it is just some questions that I want you to answer. Those questions are what character traits positive or negative, can you identify that have been passed down through generations in your family? I'm going to say that again. What character traits, positive or negative, can you identify that have been passed down through generations, your family? And I also can email you out these questions as well. It's just three questions that it's up to you how you want to answer these questions. And basically, it's on personality traits and looking in through your family and seeing what personality traits you can identify. Now, question two is how have they affected you personally? And number three, your family. How have they affected your family in terms of the dynamics, the legacy, and the relationship? So those three questions, again, these questions, they're not due until the Friday after Thanksgiving, and you can email the questions to me. And on that Thursday or the 22nd, we don't have class, and I want to make that known. So the first question is, what character trait or personality traits, positive or negative, can you identify that have been passed down through generations in your family? Two, how have they affected you or you personally? How have they affected you personally? And three, your family. In three areas, dynamics, legacy, relationship. And again, if you want me to email those questions to you, I can do so. And I can make sure you have them by Monday. So again, we have been talking about personality traits. I'm going to quickly go through some things that we've been discussing. We have talked about the fact that personality describes deeply ingrained patterns of behaviors and manners in which an individual perceives, relates, and thinks about themselves and the world. We talked about what the concept of personality is, and how psychologists try to answer this age-old question, why do people behave the way they do? And certainly they use your personality, your traits, in order to be able to understand your makeup and what how you think and how you function in terms of and how you relate to the world and how do you relate to individuals around you. So there are a lot of information that I gave you in terms of what personality and defining exactly what a personality trait is. We gave examples of personality traits, actions, attitudes, behaviors, whether or not you're dependable. Then we also gave some negative traits, lazy, dishonest, cowardly. And then we also talked about temperament, and a temperament is that biologically determined subset of behaviors that result in a distinctive pattern response or disposition or a sensitivity. You know, temperament, whether you mild-mannered, whether you fly off the handle real quickly, you know, somebody get next to you. You know, even if you look at the news the other day and the teacher that was fired, but if you look at the fact that his response set, so you say, well, somebody keep going at you, somebody keep calling you that N-word, or somebody keep nagging you and nagging at you and keep pushing at you, you know, how much tolerance, how much can you take? So finally you see he responded. Now, did he respond correctly? No. So, but temperament, that is considered how a person responds, how a person, a pattern of an individual responds. And we're all born with temperament. And we talked about some tendencies that a person or a baby would have, a set of tendencies to behave or not to behave in certain ways. A person's temperament will make it easier to initiate or maintain certain forms of behavior or more difficult to initiate or maintain other forms of behavior. So, again, example of the teacher. The teacher just got fed up and said, forget this mess. I'm just going to go off. And, you know, it's good to know that, or this is a Christian empowerment course. So certainly when we look at the Lord and we look at how the Lord helps us and how the Holy Spirit is there to hold our peace. And if we look at certain interactions that we have with people and how that we would have said something or we would have responded in a certain way, but the Spirit of the Lord held us back. And you know it's the Spirit because you know in the back of your mind you would have said something to that individual because they rubbed you the wrong way. So temperament also activates different brain chemicals or different chemistry in your brain. So it could be pleasure, it could be pain, or no noticeable difference. So we talked about that, and we said as a result, the temperament of a child creates tendencies to behave in certain ways and not to behave. So, you know, I gave two examples. I gave the examples of a young man that is sensitive and may be artistic or may like arts and may have female characteristics, and he may be rejected by father. At the same time, if father is able to accept him and father has his own maybe sensitive characteristics, then they bond well. So also when we look at the young girl. We talked about the girl in the same aspect. If she has an aggressive nature, if she's athletic, she comes from the womb hollering and screaming and kicking and just having just a fit, then her parents, if her parents are aggressive, if her parents are athletic, then she would go up to be healthy and productive. However, if her mother sees her as a threat and mom is not, she doesn't have the temperament of that aggressiveness, then mom may be ambivalent to her daughter. So not really giving her the love and the devotion that her daughter needs. So we talked about determining personality types. We went all through those. We gave five major ones, basically, and you can review those in my notes. So I do want to move a little bit fast on today. So we also talked about how do I create my personality. And we also talked about how can my personality affect others. So when we're looking at being positive and upbeat and how it can influence everybody around me, but if I'm negative, and we can look at this in essence when we look at individuals, when we look at people that are in the church or either outside the church that seem to be negative, that seem to be negative and can't seem to see any positive outcome or positive, see anything positive in any situation. They're always negative, And that type of person, if you're around them too much, you begin to feel down and feel like something is wrong. And, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, hanging around people or being with people. If you want to feel like you're joyous or you tremendous faith, then you hang with people of that nature. And certainly that spirit or that nature will influence you as well. But those people that seem to be down and out, you know, I want you to keep in mind that something is going on with that person. Because some may be just have experienced some type of abuse and neglect growing up. And I had a question on last week about social response, and I'm going to get to that. But let me finish running through what we dealt with on last week. I talked about different personalities that emerged when we look at the Bible. We gave an example of the book of Genesis where we had Esau and Jacob. And I'm reviewing this because there are materials on the test that talk about this information. I gave you a scripture, Genesis 21-23. And it talks about the conversation that Rebecca had with the Lord and how that the Lord told her that she has two nations in her womb. And certainly we see that it did bring it to pass, or the Lord did bring that to pass. And that's also in my notes. Then I talked about Carl Jung and how he came up with a set of personality types. And when you look at personality types, when you look at personality styles, it comes back to those personality traits that are presented. We are a set of personality traits. So, and those traits develop and bring about who we are and type and style of how we see the world as defined in the definition. And when we look at Carl Jung, he said, well, there are 16 personality types that we can go back to, and we talked about that. We talked about Isabel Briggs Myers And I think everybody has had a MMPI test, which tries to get your personality or tries to see where you at in terms of being able to function in the business. So in essence, those 16 types came out to be extra version, introversion, sensing, intuitive, thinking, feeling, judging, receiving. So we talked about those personality types, and I gave, of course, a list of what the letters meant. And I also gave an example. We also talked about the sense of self and personality, and not personality, but psychology, a sense of self, and what's defined, and how it's the way we look and see ourselves. It's like you look in a mirror and you want to what's looking back at you. So that is the concept of sense of self, and that is integrated by our mind, body, and spirit. So all of this helps to create the individual wherewith God can use, and certainly God knows each and every one of our personality traits, and he uses those for his will. And there's a destiny that that we have that God wants to get us to, and certainly he uses those traits, our habits, to get us where we need to go. Now, we had talked about, and I had a question about social response, and some kind of way I overlooked that, and I am going to talk about it now. Social response. Now, social response is this: as a child grow and develop, they begin to experience with a wide variety of behaviors. Each type of behavior is reinforced either positively or negatively, or it is ignored, not reinforced. As the child develops, the capacity to think and use language, they tend to think about and describe three kinds of behaviors. Now, somebody asked me, well, does discipline help those traits? Yes. They help to form. When you're looking at behavior, when you're looking at reinforcing a child's behavior, when you're looking at discipline a child's behavior, children learn by what they see. Now, temperament may mean they might be aggressive or they might be sensitive, but they still can be molded in positive ways, given the right nurturing, the right influence, the right love, and the right influence to give them the morals of what's right and wrong. So when we look at good behavior is this. Infants tend to intuitively identify positively reinforce behavior as good because there are behaviors produce a pleasurable or desired results. I'm going to do good because you're going to reward my good behavior. That's basically what it is. In other words, positively reinforced behaviors are perceived as having paid value because children learn that using these behaviors feel good and allows them to get something they need or want by using good behavior. So in essence, when I was growing up, I had chores. I had to clean my room, I had to sweep the floor, may have had to wash the dishes. But at the end of the week, I knew that I was going to get some type of reward financially for doing my chores. So in essence, that is good behavior. Good behavior means I am going to do what's expected of me, because at the end of the day, there are going to be something that I want from exercising good behavior. Now, when we look at bad behavior in fence 10-2, intuitively identify, and of course this is just the opposite, negatively reinforce behaviors as bad because these behaviors produce a pain or discomfort and do not produce the desired result. Example, I fall out in a grocery store and try to have a temper tantrum, and I get spanked for it, or I get ignored for it. So basically, there's some type of pain or some type of negative reinforcement that I'm receiving from that behavior. So basically, it threatens the value, because children learn that using those behaviors feel bad and don't get them what they want or need. You know, like I'm in the house, or I disagree, or I disobey, or I talk back to my mother, and all of a sudden I'm punished. And, you know, as we were growing up, when we were young, old school, we didn't talk back to our parents. That was a no-no, because we knew we were in trouble. And certainly as parents ourselves, we know how to restrictions on our children when they disobey, when they go to school and they talk, or they disobey the teacher and they come home, then they know that there are negative consequences for their behavior. So that is bad behavior. But then there is just irrelevant behavior. And that infant tends to intuitively identify behavior that's ignored, i.e. receive no positive or negative reinforcement as irrelevant behavior, because they don't produce feelings of pleasure or playing. They don't affect their ability at all. So basically, it's just that they don't, there's no consequences. So because there are no consequences, because they can get away with it, it's just okay. It's just irrelevant. I'm just going to do it. So the behavior is interrupted for a minute or temporarily, but they know that there's no consequences for their actions, so it's just irrelevant. Okay. So in other words, non-reinforced behaviors are perceived as having no value, because children learn that using these behaviors don't affect how they feel and has no impact on getting what they want or want from other people. So basically, I'm not going to do it. It's not getting any effect. So now, when we look at, there's another situation, or there's another part when we look at behaviors. It's a situation or something that's called habit formation. The brain, when we look at our brain, the Lord has blessed us so until that there's what is called plasticity. And what that means is that the brain is ever changing. So it's like but it's ever changing, but it also, when it comes to storing information, it's habit forming. It's like a habit forming computer. So basically, any behavior that is engaged in repeatedly becomes habit. So in essence, if I have a certain route that I drive home consistently at night, and I may be worried, I may have a lot of stress. Stress may be heavily on my mind. I might be engaged in that report I need to get done. And all of a sudden, I find myself home. And I get in my driveway, turn the car off, and I'm like, wow, man, how did I get here? That's because the brain has a way of automatically knowing how to get you home because it's a pattern that has been conducted over and over again. So any behavior that we engage in repeatedly can be habit forming. We get in habits of doing things automatically without having to think about them. Using habitual behavior when an internal or external cue activates the automatic habitual response. Internal clues can be sensory perceptions. Now, we talked about those 16 types. We talked about Carl Jung. We talked about Isabel Myers. Now, when we begin to look at the fact that there are certain things that goes on in us that are external clues, because we do them on a regular basis, there are certain things that we pick up, sensory perception, thoughts, feeling, images. Then there's external cues, and these things have automatic, and they are habit-forming in such a way that they become part of our ever-existence because we do them over and over again. We notice something that activates an autonomic ways of thinking, feeling, and behaving. These autonomic thoughts, feelings, and behaviors can be automatically without a person consciously thinking about them. In other words, habits allow us to act things out before we can think them through. I'm gonna say that again. Habits allows us to act things out before we can think them through. Like eating, you know, grabbing a snack automatically, you know, maybe we're trying to diet or maybe we're fasting, but there's a certain pattern that we do. We eat certain times of the day. We grab a snack certain times of the day. But we're fasting, so we're changing our behavior, but all of a sudden, we pick up something and pop it in our mouth. And you think, what? I'm fasting. That's that habit forming. That's that acts of things that we do without thinking, because automatically our body responds to certain things that we do and that have been their habits. Every action creates an internal response mediated by brain chemistry. Thoughts, emotion, reactions, and by nature of social reinforcement. So it's a lot of stuff going on. It's a lot of stuff going on inside us in terms of our traits, in terms of our style, in terms of how we respond. So when we wrap all of this information up, when we look at habits, when we look at how we interact with people, when we look at the way we are raised, when we look at even pain and punishment, behavior response when we look at bad behavior, good behavior, and just irrelevant behavior. All of these help to create a personality style, create a way a person was born, way a person looks at society. Now, Carl Jung also talked about in his studies about and how a person really also is influenced by their social environment. And we've got theories like Freud and Erickson who says, well, there are stages of development. And in those stages of development, we begin to understand and we begin to try to maneuver through understanding who we are in terms of our personality style, in terms of who we will become. And, of course, in this day and time, when we look at society, society seems to be big on bullying. And I've noticed, and you can take a note as well, that now we are involving kids in adult activities. You know, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, that wasn't even thought of. You oftentimes heard your parents say, you know, stay in a child's place. Well, now you get example like Dancing with the Stars have a junior a part of it now. You got kids in adult competition, but it's on their level, having to deal with emotions that really you don't really start dealing with until you are really adults. You know, even in cooking shows. So you got to deal with rejection. You got to deal with whether or not am I good enough? Am I able to win? It's like you have a competition now that kids are put in and that they have to be motivated and function that they didn't have to do that 10 years ago or 10 or 20 years ago. So when we look at personality style, people develop a broad range of related personality traits, and this is the key, habits of personality that combine the combined picture of all of these related traits is called style. So when you look at the style, when you look at the type, and you see those 16 personality traits that Carl Jung and Elizabeth Myers came up, was introverted, extroverted, sensing, thinking. And when you look at our body, does these things automatically. So we develop habits. We develop ways of thinking. We develop ways of behaving. Mm-hmm. So in that instance, let's move on with personality types. There's understanding personalities, the traits and the characteristics. Now, I sent you this separately, and we talked about on last week, we talked about the type A personality. This is also on your test as well. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. I just want you to know this is also on your test. So we talked about type A and type B personality theories or styles. So let's review type A, shall we? Personality traits. Type A are individuals who are workaholics, highly stressed, and extremely ambitious, and particularly rigid in their attitudes. You know, I talked about the show that's on. I think is I Feel, and those are all the words I know. I Feel Something, but it indicates. It talks about. It deals with the individual that commits suicide, and it leaves their friends to really understand and try to figure out what's going on or what happened. And the preview showed the individual in an office, a business office, apparently, and I haven't seen it, but I'm just making inferences that he jumped out the window. And we find that most type A individuals, before we really start dealing with the 16 personality traits, not types, they put you in A, B, C, A and B. But now you have even C and D also to really work with. But that type A personality was that person that was a workaholic, and that person also, in terms of stress and heart attacks, was the person that had more heart attacks and the person that was extremely stressed. So a type A has got a severe sense of time urgency. They are always running and can't handle or relax. If they sit without doing something useful, they may end up feeling guilty. Type A's are overachievers. They usually get themselves involved in many different unrelated activities and perform well in them. Type A's biggest problem is stress. They're usually overwhelmed by the amount of tasks they have to do. These tasks are usually a huge list that they plan for themselves. Type A is usually competitive and have a high challenging spirit. A type A personality is prone to anger outbursts. The cause of this hostility towards people is usually due to their not met the high expectations of the type A personality. Winning is all important to the type A. They will compete in all effects, no matter who it is against and what is the prize. Recognition and advancement is a very important, and they will push themselves to their limits to try and achieve as much as possible, as quickly as possible. However, they may feel unfulfilled as they constantly want to achieve more and more, and sometimes their goals may not be realistic. And I want to make this note. A type A frequently suffers from self-doubt. There's no permanent the notes here say there is no permanent cure. However, improving self-confidence and self-controls are tasks that should be worked on every day. And, of course, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly. And the Bible tells us that we should not worry, but we should not be anxious in anything. Okay, now, type B personality. Now, type B personality is this. Type B is the direct opposite of type A. And, of course, we've gone through this, but I want to go through them, A, B, and C, and D, because we're going to get to C and D. They have the following characteristics. Stress handling. Type B personality usually do not get stressed easily when they're under acute situations. So type B personality, they can handle stress better. Basically, the lack of urgency, they don't have it. They don't mind waiting to get their work done. They're not hyper about it. They have no problems relaxing or sitting without doing anything, unlike the type A. The type B individual may delay their work at the last minute. because they don't have the sense of urgency like the type A personality, the type person, the type B or the type A personality trait person has. They're able to relax. Those people, these people are the people who remain calm and relaxed most of the times. They believe in taking their time to stop and smell the roses and insist on running, instead of running the mad rat race. Type B may be procrastinators. They may do the work at the last minute. It may, well, they do wait until the last moment to get what's needed. And they usually don't get stressed about it. So, and another characteristic is they're non-assertive. So basically, they're not aggressive. They don't get frustrated. If something goes against their will, they're prone not to lose their temper. Again, you see temperament. So temperament type B persons have an easy going. They're not going to fly off the ledge. They're not going to get angry. So the temperament is laid back. And socializing and engaging. So basically, they're laid-back people who like to relax, who are creative, who are imaginative, who are artistic, who are friendly, and they love life, and they just like being socially engaged. And patience. So type B personalities is less competitive, and they have they have more patience, and their hearts rule their heads, and they can feel very emotional and sensitive. That's the type B. Now let's talk about the type C personality, because type C personality and type D is on your test. So the type C personality traits is personalities that love for detail. They love for detail. They can spend a considerable amount of time trying to understand how things work. Type C takes life seriously and are usually hard workers. To extreme, they sometimes become perfectionists who want everything to be perfect in everything they do. So they become perfectionists. They want to do it right. It's got to be perfect. It's got to line up in the right order. They may find it harder to work and play with others and are introverts in most cases. As a result of lack of assertiveness and the desire to work alone, they may prefer only their own company rather than being with people. So if that person's in the corner, like my niece, I give an example, and she's very introverted. As a little child, you know, again, we talk about traits and patterns. As a little child, she tend to play by herself, and she didn't want to interact with other people. And yet when people forced her to try to do that, then her temperament or her response was kind of aggressive because she played well by herself. Let's see. Type C personalities also have some of the positive personality traits, like being dependable, having good analysis skills, and they have brilliant minds. So, let's talk about type D. Type D personality traits. And I want to check on my time. I'm doing good. We're doing good. A type D personality is distressed. Type D's have a negative outlook towards life and are pessimistic. A small event that is not even noticed by B can ruin D's day. Type D personalities are more subject to depression than other type of personalities. And let's read some characteristics of the type D personality. A type D person might become socially withdrawn as a result of fear, rejection, even if they like to be around people. Type D's are famous for suppressing their emotions, and that makes them more vulnerable to depression. Type D personalities usually have a low self-esteem and have a exaggerated fear of disapproval. And this is the primary reason that prevents them from opening up to others. Type D. Do not assume that type D personalities like social interests. However, they frequently may be interested in people but are afraid to approach them because they fear rejection. And I was going to talk about that a little, and I'm going to talk about rejection, and we're going to go more into that spirit on next week because we're going into personality disorders. Now, I'm going to give you what a personality disorder is tonight. But we're going to talk about rejection because when we look at rejection, and you can see it in this particular personality, that I have mentioned rejection quite a bit. And that little word or that little spirit, and it is a spirit, can certainly mess us up. Negative emotions such as worry, stress, depression, and fear frequently affect type D's personality. A small event that is usually overlooked by others, so others like A, B, and C, can bother a type D a lot more and ruin their mood. So that's the types. And from that article, I want you to pay close attention to A, B, C, and D. Now, I said that we were going to look at a little bit about disorders. Because we've tied all this together. We've tied personality traits. We talked about what they are and how even as kids we are born with certain traits and we're born with certain temperaments, and that our behavior as we are groomed into adulthood affects us. And I didn't go into the stages of development because I'm trying to keep this course certainly to 6 weeks. But when we look at trust versus mixed mistrust, which is the first stage in Erikson. Erikson has 8 stages of development. And Freud has 6. And when we look at those stages of development, we begin to understand that they affect our personality, our styles, and what we do, and what we will grow up to be. And if by some chance, especially is Erikson had trust versus mistrust, which is the first one, and then he had 7 other stages, all the way up until older age, when you are older and you get in your 80s, all the way up to that stage, there's a stage of development. And there are things that you have to overcome, like trust versus mistrust. The object of that stage is getting to trust. And if you get to the negative part, then you never really complete that stage, and you're stuck. You're stuck in that area, and even though you may grow, your body may grow emotionally and mentally and physically, you are stuck in pain and in hurt. And there are certain behaviors that are created because you are not dealing with those wounds that have been created. So then there's the aspect also of abuse. I gave you three questions to ponder on. And as you ponder on those questions that I talked about earlier, you will begin to see the traits or the characteristics that have molded your family. And as they molded your family, or that are in your family, they have also molded you to become the individual that you are today. So when we begin to start shifting the lectures, and we are shifting them to personality disorders, a personality are rigid, inflexible, and maladaptive behavior patterns of sufficient severity to cause a significant impairment in functioning or internal distress. The last type of personalities that we just talked about is that personality D person. So when you look at that person that feels rejected and feels like, you know, I want to be socially accepted, but I've been rejected. So that rejection develops patterns of impairment. And then personalities or my personality disorders, types of behaviors begin to form that affect me, my personality. So when you look at a personality, it's a personality disorder, is different from like being depressed, is different from a mental or emotional disorder. This is a personality, is the concept of who you are, how you think, and because of how you think, that pattern affects how you behave. So when we look at personality disorders, are enduring persistent styles of behavior and thought. And we're going to talk about those as they are listed in the DSM-5, which is the diagnostic statistical manual that most psychologists and doctors and people that do therapy look at to look at how a person functions, what symptoms they bring to the table in those areas. So we got the essential features of a personality disorders are impairment in personality, self and interpersonal functioning, and the presence of pathological personality traits. What you talking about, Dr. Carey? What you mean by pathological? That means they deviate from the norm. They deviate from what's normal. They deviate from what should be basic. You know, basic behavior, we are either we're nice or we're not, whether we have a idea of what the society should look like. Our parents have ingrained in us a set of moral values that should have created with us what is right and wrong. However, when we look at personality traits, they have become pathological. They're no longer normal. They are going to the far left or the far right, in essence. Okay. How we feeling out there? It is now 8 o'clock. I'm going to open up the line for any discussions or any questions that you might have or that you might want to discuss. So everything, and before I open up the line, everything, or as I open up the line, everything, if they let me open up the line, there we go. Hello, class. How you doing?
All right.
All right. How you doing?
I'm good.
This is Myra. This is Myra.
How you doing, Myra?
I'm doing fine, thank you. How you doing this evening?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. Who else is on the line?
This is Terry.
Okay, Terry. I got Terry and Myra on the phone. Great. Were you guys able to receive the material I sent you?
Yes, I got it.
Yes, I received the information, and I didn't get a chance to do it yet.
Well, you have time. Because I know that it's important for you to get this information and be able to process this information, I want to make sure, as we discussed at registration, that I get you the material out quickly so that you have time to review the information. And that everything is open book and you have the material to discuss and to ask questions and to review. Any other questions? Any other discussions?
No, I don't have anything.
No. Nope.
No questions?
No questions.
I don't have any questions.
How was class? Anything I need to do, or you, everything is okay? You understand the material?
Yes, I understood the material. I got idea.
Yes.
Okay, good. Is it helpful?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's very. I'm not understanding it.
Pardon me? Somebody
send
said you're understanding it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
Ma'am.
You guys don't have any questions tonight?
No.
Well, I want you guys to pray for me and keep me up in prayer. They had to rush my father to the emergency room last night, and he's still in the hospital. He currently has pneumonia, and there's some other things that's wrong with him.
Okay.
So if you do that, I would appreciate it. Now,
yeah.
We're going to pray, and since there are no questions, I use this last 30 minutes for any questions or anything that you want to bring out or want me to bring out. The test, before I get off the phone, The test, basically, is only 20 questions. I tried to keep it as simple as possible. You shouldn't have any surprises. Basically, it's straight out of the notes that I have given you. And you could either email it to me or you can put it in the mail to me. And I think I put my email, my P.O. box number on the syllabus, the new revised syllabus.
Okay.
And I'm looking
we'll
for it
just
now.
Email it back. I'll probably just scan it and email it back to you.
Okay. And certainly you can just save it. And, you know, if you save it to your Word and then fill in the blanks and then email it back to me. So you don't even have to scan it. All you have to do is just save it and put your answers in it and email it back to me.
Oh, okay, because I was going to print it and do it. Okay.
You can do that too. You can print it, whatever is easy for you. So that's what I was trying to do, whatever was easy for you, whatever's convenient for you. Again, I'm making this class as easy as possible. So far, how you guys liking being on the blog talk and being on the phone and not having a physical class to come into?
Well, it was really helpful to me because I wasn't feeling my best today. I was debating going to the urgent care, but I'm beginning to feel a little better. But, yeah, I like it.
We praise the Lord because God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above
yes,
all that
is.
We could ask or think. You know, the enemy is out to really, really oppress the saints of God.
Yes.
He is trying to stop us. And if you look at the election, God is sovereign.
Yes.
I attend a community Bible study, and that's why your questions this morning, or not this morning, but I've got three extra questions because in community Bible study, we've been talking about the characteristics of Esau and Jacob and the fact that, you know, we don't have to, as saints of God, God is sovereign. God has us. He said if our ways please him, he will give us the desires of our heart. So he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And he is sovereign, meaning you don't have to help him get his plan done.
Yeah.
You know, we look at the Bible, we look at Rebecca. Rebecca told Jacob, look, go in there to your father and lie so that you can get a blessing. But if God told you in the beginning that I'm going to do this, why are you trying to help me? So we got to bind the enemy and we got to link hands together and we got to believe that God is able. He has given us, each and every one of us, an assignment, and certainly he's going to fulfill that assignment, and he's sovereign. He's going to give us whatsoever we need. We don't have to run around here and worry about it. We don't have to worry about the establishments because God said, I've given you everything you need.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I felt that thing. Praise him. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. You know, because the enemy is a lie. I look at, you know, what's going on, and I know that each and every one, you can say there's a lot going on. There's a lot. The enemy's throwing this at you. I mean, my father doing good one day, and all of a sudden, my brother has to take him to the emergency room. He's got pneumonia, and there's some other things. Whew. But God is good, ladies. God is good. So God is good. We're going to pray, and we're going to take this class out in prayer, and we're just going to keep each and every one of us lifted up. Because God is doing some things. God is moving some things. God is getting us to understand people and what he's doing in this last day and time. And the main reason why I start dealing with personality disorders is because we have a president that is narcissistic. And that is a personality disorder. He is truly that. But God put him in office for a reason.
Yes.
But God is sovereign. All right, ladies, let us pray. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to come before your presence. We exalt you. We magnify you. I thank you for the subject matter, Father God, that we've dealt with today. I thank you, God, for our personalities. I thank you, God, for our traits. I thank you, God, for who you have made us. And each and every one of us on the line, Father God, I continue to ask that you bless them abundantly. God, heal and deliver, God, in the name of Jesus. Touch Terry's body right now, God. Oh, we speak healing in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Touch Myra right now in the name of Jesus. We bind the enemy right now that will come against her, God, in the ministry, God, that she's preparing for, God. God, we thank you, God. We thank you, God, for what you're doing. We thank you, God, for moving mightily in their lives. We thank you, God, for the anointing that's falling right now in the name of Jesus. We bless your name, God. We praise and magnify you, God. We thank you for the anointing. We thank you, God, for understanding, God. God, of personalities, of people, in the name of Jesus. God, move, God. Touch right now, God. Save and deliver our families, God. Save and heal my father, God. Continue to strengthen my mother, God. God, you know the need, God. As we prepare to leave and go out of town, God, we pray a special blessing, God. Heal my father's body, God. Touch the lungs, God. Touch that gallstone. Heal and deliver, God. Oh, Father God, you know, God, even his pancreas, God, in the name of Jesus. God, touch that body, God. God, deliver him from pneumonia, God. God, you know, open up the lungs, God. Deliver his death, God. God, touch right now in the name of Jesus. God, you a healer, God. You a deliverer, God. In the name of Jesus. God, open up my students' mind, God. Even at work, God. Give them blessings, God, on top of blessing, God. Favor, God. Favor, God. Favor in the name of Jesus. Guide and lead them to the next step in their ministry, God. God, you know, God. You know, God. You've called us to cry out loud, and we're crying out loud for the healing, God. Even of Chicago, God. In the name of Jesus. Even those in California, God, that lost their loved ones, God, in the name of Jesus, we pray even now, God, that you move and deliver, God. God, save us, God. Save this world. Save this country, God. In the name of Jesus, God, who save Chicago, in the name of Jesus. Have your way, God. Do it, God. We crying, God. We crying, God, because our sons and daughters need to be saved. Our sons and daughters need to be saved. Our sons and daughters need to be forgiven, God. Our sons and daughters, God. We're losing our sons and daughters, God, and we crying out for them, God. Save them, God. In Jesus' name, God. Oh, deliver us, God. In Jesus' name, God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Ladies, this concludes our class. If there's anything that comes to mind, certainly you can either leave me a text or you could leave me an email. Next week, we'll be talking more in depth about personality disorders. And that's going to be a really good topic to discuss. So, again, okay. I thank you for being on class. I thank you for allowing me to come into your homes and even participating in Amazing Grace School of Ministry. I appreciate you much. Y'all be blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Have a good evening.
You
and
too.
We will talk
you
on
same.
Next week.
You
thank
same.
You, ladies.
All
bye
right.
Bye.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a blessed
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.